Today, obviously, is a day marked in the Christian calendar, Easter. But we know that we celebrate the risen Lord each and every day. So it's not just one day that we commemorate this, is there? We can live in that fact that he is who he says he is. I'm just going to try and... There you go. You see, Abby, technology as well. Gets to us dinosaurs. Gets to the dinosaurs as well. I did something quite dangerous this week. I bought a new notepad, and I started to write things down. And I want you to just see if anything jumps out at you, like it jumped out at me. And then we'll bring the scriptures that the Lord has placed on my heart. And I want to encourage us as a church. You know, we live in a day where, you know, we can look back and we can say, well, it was better then and it's worse now. But in every generation, there's struggles. In every generation, there's things that we need to set aside. We need to look higher. We need to look within ourselves. And scripture says that Jesus says, I am the same yesterday, today and forever. So that's true for each one of us. Now, I know I'm very privileged because I know many of you and I know some of the struggles that we all go through. But he is the same yesterday, today and forever. And when we come together, you know, we don't want to be a church that just preaches that we're a family. We want to live that we're a family. When one part hurt, we all hurt. There's things that I can't do to help you in your lives and there's things that you can't do to help me. So we think. But we can pray together. We can fellowship together. We can sit together. We can say to each other, we're there with you through the storms. Let's not just pray for each other. Let's pray with each other. Okay, let's go through this because we are on a time limit. First thing I wrote down was this. Are we living a resurrected life? Just think about that. Are we living a resurrected life? Or are there things in your life, in my life, that will need to die first? You see, the Bible says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains but a seed. But if it dies, it produces something. The same in my life and your life. There's things in my life that I've allowed to die and it's produced a harvest. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times. There's other things that I'm still dealing with. But maybe there's something in your life today. As I encourage you and challenge you, are there things that need to die for you to live that resurrected life? Are there things that are still got a hold of your life that you want to say, Lord, I'm allowing this to be crucified today? This is just an introduction, so the best is yet to come. Life is in the blood. You know that? Life is in the blood. If we do not have blood flowing through our bodies, there is no life. It comes every living creature. There is blood. And without that blood, there is no life. And when we look at the death of Jesus Christ, shedding his blood, for us, it brings life. Do not be defined by your disabilities. Be defined by your God-given abilities. That's worth saying a second time, I think. Do not be defined by your disabilities, by what you can't do. Be defined by your God-given abilities. Because all of us have been given something. All of us have been gifted with grace. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now there's something for someone this morning. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Today, let's die to self so that we can live for Christ. To bring life, Jesus says, something has to die. In Matthew 17, it says this, when they came together in Galilee, he said to them, who are they? They're the disciples. When they came together, He said, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. Could you imagine just hearing that and thinking, this man's crazy? But we know the Christian story, don't we? In order for life to come, there had to be death. In order to be the truth of life fully in the blood, it had to be shed. And we know the story. We know what the Old Testament says. We're talking to Christians here. We're talking to those that are on a journey. We're talking to those that are certainly familiar. When we look through Scripture, we'll see that there's Peter would bring a message to the Jews. And whenever he mentioned the word God, they knew exactly what he meant. And it's the same when I mention to Christians God, you know who I mean. We talk about sacrifice, you know what I mean. When we talk about the Old Testament law, you know exactly what I mean by the sacrifice. The New Testament covenant, you know what I mean by the blood of Christ. But when Paul preached about God, people would say, which God? Which of the thousands of deities are you talking about? So today, we're not talking about the false gods. We're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about his sacrifice, his death, his resurrection, just in case we are not fully sure. He had to come, he had to be delivered, he had to die so that he could be raised again. In Mark 10:44, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Now the word slave is servant. It's not someone that's shackled. It's a servant. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And the reason I put this portion of Scripture in today is that word ransom. There is a price that had to be paid, and Jesus paid it. That's the story of the gospel, isn't it? That's the good news of the gospel. So for us as Christians, we understand, yes, there was a death, but there was also a resurrection. You know, we can see in our own lives. Have you heard seed time and harvest? You heard that saying? So if we take it from a Christian principle, seed time and harvest. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains but a seed. So we sow that seed and out pops a strawberry plant. We sow that seed and then there's time and then there's a harvest. Yes? It's true in your life as well. I'm sure you're praying for something specific. I was speaking to someone, I won't mention their name, and they were going, yes, I know, Lord, but I want it now. See, there's seed, there's time, and there's harvest. And just as Jesus died to become that seed, to produce that harvest, there was a time where he was in the grave, and then there was the harvest, where he rose victorious. And because he lives, the Bible says that we can live also. So when we look through Scripture, when we look particularly through the New Testament, we will see a thread that runs through it. When we look through the Old Testament, we will see a thread that runs through it. And it's this: God so loved you that he gave. Old Testament and New Testament. So for us today, this Easter message is slightly different to some of the Easter messages that you may have heard in the past. But I think it's relevant to each one of us just to grab afresh. Let's not be defined by our disabilities, but let's be defined by our God-given abilities. Let's live a resurrected life. Now, when we think about that saying, let's live a resurrected life, that's not all triumphal, is it? Jesus went through suffering, he went through pain. And the Bible says, encourages us, we will suffer too. But that's the truth of his word. So for us in this church, we want to bring the truth. To live a resurrected life is not just to live in the victory all the time, in that sense. But there are times we have to go through the suffering in order to live in the victory. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? For those that are struggling mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, we're struggling. And yet we're told, we're encouraged to live a resurrected life. For Jesus to go through what he went through, it was for a purpose. It's the same for me and you. We don't understand. It's when we look back, we can see God's hand on it. When we look back and say, I understand why I needed to put aside that. I understand why I needed to stop that relationship. I understand why that habit started to control me and you want me to control it. I understand why I need to submit my life to you afresh, Lord. I understand to live in the resurrected life, something has to die. In Hebrews 9, I'm going to read exactly what it says on here, and as Christians you should understand it. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through a greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made by human hands. That is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctified them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that's good news. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In order for us to be set free from the law, Christ had to die. For the wages of sin is death, yes, and eternal separation from God. But the gift of God, is life, and life in all its fullness. That's the resurrected life. Amen. Life in all its fullness. But Pastor, I don't feel full, nor do I. But it doesn't mean that God is not working in our lives, does it? It doesn't mean that we cannot see the victory in our lives over temptation. It doesn't mean that we won't see the breakthrough in our finances. It doesn't mean that we won't have mornings and afternoons and evenings where the pain has subsided. It won't mean that we can have to stop praying for others and seeing them fulfill their destiny. You know, one of the frustrating things, maybe it's just me, and that's why you need to pray for me. We pray for someone else and we see God move in their lives. And yet there's times we pray for ourselves and we see no change. Or is that just me? God, this is not fair. God didn't say it'd be fair, he said it'd be just. You know, as we give, we will receive. And there's a promise. We heard last week about the promises of God. And there are things that we will do because there's seed time and harvest. You know, Jesus died. He was buried, but he rose again. See, the seed is sown. Let's let God put whatever time he wants to put on our lives, and there will be a harvest. That's the promise. Because he lives, we also live. There's an eternal perspective for us that we can share afresh, especially on Easter Sunday, that he's coming back for a victorious church. You know, when Christ comes back, he will take us to be with him. Those that are alive will be caught up. Those that are in the grave also will be raised. You see, there's a promise for us as his dearly beloved ones. We are not covered by the blood of animals, we're covered by the blood of Christ. When you take that picture of the blood covenant, you look at what the Lord says to his people. I want you to take an animal, I want you to sacrifice it, I want you to take some hyssop and put the blood of the animal in a bowl and dip the hyssop in the blood and apply it over the doorpost of the house. How much more the blood of Jesus over the doorposts of our households? How much more the blood of Jesus over our health and well-being? How much more the blood of Jesus over those difficult situations in our lives? I don't want us to do this as a mantra, but just think about it for a moment. If this is true, and the blood still speaks, if this is true, that the blood that was shed for us brings life and wholeness and fulfillment and holiness and redemption, if that's true, then surely if we take that blood spiritually and we apply it over that difficult situation, it will be like an ointment. It will bring healing. It will bring wholeness. So let's live the resurrected life. And if there's something that needs to die in order for that to happen, let's crucify it today. Let's let it die today. That unbelief, let it die today. Lord, forgive me that I don't believe what you say about me, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, forgive me that I don't trust you for my today and for my tomorrow. Let's let something die in order that we can live a resurrected life. In Ephesians, I wrote this down after listening to the message last week, and it says this: with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Readiness. We can miss this word. Are we ready? You know, we hear about the peace that transcends all understanding, and for some of us, we can live in that reality. In others, it's a struggle. But are we ready to receive that peace? Are we ready to walk in that peace? When we look at what the Bible says about the shoes of the gospel, it's something that we need to be ready to walk in. And that peace will be with us. I firmly understand and know and recognize in my own life that there's times I've been through struggles, and I'm sure you have. But are we ready to believe God is who he says he is, and we are who he says we are? Are we ready to live that resurrected life? If the answer is yes, then something had to die. Something had to die. Our old life was buried with him, and we're born afresh, yes? Something had to die, and it's something the Bible talks about. It says, be being saved. It says, you know, it's a journey, isn't it? We don't become a Christian and then suddenly we are perfect, are we? We're not. And one of the struggles we have convincing others is they don't realise that we know we're sinners saved by grace. We know we're not perfect, and that's why we need a saviour. So today, let's choose to put on the gospel of peace. Let's choose to do that. Is there turmoil in your life? Let's live the resurrected life. Let's choose to let the old go and walk in the new. So I want to encourage us today as we look through these scriptures, and I just read one or two things. And I want us to fully understand who he is, what he's done for me and you. So put your name in that place. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. Why? To give me a resurrected life. To give you a resurrected life. He didn't die for us so that we could live in squalor. You know, I don't fully agree with some things I hear. But I do fully agree with the things I read and see in Scripture. That God wants to bless his people. God wants to challenge his people. God wants to restore relationships. God wants to bring healing to your body. Do you know what the word of God is a balm? When we hear the word of God, it's a balm to our bodies. It brings healing, the very nature of God's word. The Son of Man, it says in Luke 9, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed. Remember the story where Jesus is in the garden and he kneels down, and it says he was sweating drops of blood. The anguish was there. He said, if there is any other way, then let this cup be taken from me. But then he said, but not my will, but your will be done. You see, he must be killed. It's part and parcel of the plan that God has for me and you. Something had to die in order for us to live a resurrected life. And that something was Christ. That was God himself. Must be killed. But then it goes on to say, but on the third day, raised to life. So within in the life of Christ and in your life, let's not just let something die and leave it there. Because when we just leave it there, it will decay. If you take a seed and you put it into soil and you let that soil dry out, it will not produce anything. Because the ground is dry and infertile. But if it has the nutrients and the water, and then eventually when the shoot comes through the sunlight, it will produce. So to live the resurrected life, we need to understand, yes, something has to die, but also something has to live. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. If we want to hang on to, if we say what's in the world and what's in the kingdom, if we want to hold on to our worldliness, then we'll lose our life. If we're willing to lose that worldliness, then we'll save our lives. Something has to die in order for something to live. Let's live in the resurrected life. Let's be challenged afresh today as we look through God's word. Ephesians 3:16, I used to say this at the beginning of church on a regular basis, and it came back to my mind, and I think it's a powerful, we use it as a prayer. Paul is using it here. He says, I pray, so we can pray out of his glorious riches. This is Jesus. Out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Just let that soak in. Let's live the resurrected life so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. The Bible says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, you. But in order for us to walk in that, something has to die. Let's live the resurrected life. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. Maybe today, you need to grasp afresh how wide, long, high and deep the love of Christ is. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son for you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Not to know of it, but to know it. To live the resurrected life, we need to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Not know of it, but know it. Allow it to manifest in us and permeate out of us. What's the Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. As we allow that love to soften us, and then we can allow God's grace to soften others. That you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. To have a resurrected life is to be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. I think it was John who said, less of me, more of you. So if there's more of me, there's less of him. If there's more of him, there's less of me. So we can pray, Lord, less of me, more of you. That means we can experience the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we will ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Power that is at work within us. You see, when we come together corporately, the Spirit of God that lives in each one of you, we come together corporately. It says, according to the measure of power that is at work within us. So as we truly grab hold of a resurrected life, then we will speak truth, health and wholeness into each other's lives. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout the generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let it be so. So let's live a resurrected life today. But maybe something has to die. In Luke 10, it says this. I have given you authority Who's given who authority? Jesus has given authority, not just to those small bunch of disciples that we admire so much, but to the wider church. Because he said to 70, go out and preach this gospel. And then he says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Here's another small word there, all. So there's areas of our lives where we've allowed this part of our life to die because we know that God has authority over it. But sometimes I meet individuals that they'll say, Andrew, but I struggle so much with this part of my life. Well, when it says all, it means all the power of the enemy, not just a small amount of the power of the enemy. Yeah, but you don't understand my background. You don't understand the way my parents were. You don't understand what my grandparents did to me. You don't understand what my husband, my wife, my friend, my teacher. You don't understand the abuse. When it says all the power of the enemy. And if we can recognize the power that the enemy has over us, if he does, then we can allow it to die in order for us to live a resurrected life. So when it says all, it means all. It says, all the power of the enemy, nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice because the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You see how it's always tempered? It's easy for us to pray and see the demons flee, to pray and see the miraculous. But the miraculous thing that God wants us to understand is that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That when you die this earthly death, unless Christ comes back before, you will be with him in eternity. That's the truth of the resurrected life. That's the power of the resurrected life. But when it says all, it means all, not just some. In Isaiah 54:17, we're so used to this portion of scripture, maybe it's familiar to you. No weapon forged against you will prevail. Or no weapon forged against you will prosper. Yes, but it goes on and it says, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. Whenever somebody speaks a negative word in your life, it says, no weapon forged against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises up, every accusation, every falsehood, every time someone says something negative, God gives us an ability to put it under our feet. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Are you a servant of the Lord? This is yours. And this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. See, no weapon forged against me will prosper. No weapon forged against me will prosper. Let's live a resurrected life. Let's understand who God is and who he says that we are. In Romans 16, it says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. You see, there's a time coming where Jesus is going to return. And the battle has already been won. Christ has already defeated Satan. When death, where is your sting? This is the whole story of the Easter promise. Death, where is your sting? Death can no longer hold him. Because he is risen, we can rise also. But when we look at the accusations that Satan brings, when we look at the demonic in other people's lives, it's under our feet. Not only is it true when he comes back, but it's true for you and me now. See, when we walk with the readiness of the gospel of peace, what is the gospel of peace? I'm glad you asked. God so loved the world that he gave. Whoever believes in him will have life in all its fullness. Whoever becomes doers of the word, not just hearers of the word, he gives the right to be called children of God. Yes? And when we have that shoe that's fitted with the gospel of peace, peace is what it will bring. God has given us the power to stamp Satan under our feet. Let's live the resurrected life. Final scripture, is in Romans 10. And it says this, Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Resurrected life. Isn't that simple? Yet when we offer this to individuals, they don't want it. They want to live in the darkness. It's okay if you're a mushroom. You can live in the darkness, you'll flourish. But we're not called to live in the darkness, are we? We're called to live in the light. The light of the love of the Lord. A resurrected life. So my encouragement to us today is this. Yes, he is risen. And he is risen indeed. But we are also. Our old lives have died. It was buried with Christ. And that's what baptism is about. It's buried with Christ. It's a symbol of an outward work, of an inward work. And Christ has done something within us. And when we come up out of the water, we are born afresh of his spirit. We are no longer our own. We've been ransomed by him. There was a price that has been paid. And it was paid by Jesus when he was nailed on the cross. Now that is painful. But it's also good news for us. Because we can now live in the promises of God. We can now live not being defined by our disabilities, but defined by our God-given abilities. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, just as if I'd never sinned at all. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Never be put to shame. So when the enemy comes along to try and shame you, put him under your feet. No weapon forged against you will prosper. Every accusation. You know, there was a saying when I was young, and I don't know if kids use it today, but sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, that's not true, is it? Because names are like knives being thrown. Names are like arrows being shot. Names are like a hammer that hits. When someone calls us a name, it can be offensive. When someone says something negative to us, it can cause us to shrink back. Let's allow those thoughts, those names, those attitudes to die. You know, there was a... I'll finish with this and we'll get our children back. There was a picture that was given me by a lady, Molly Gregory, who used to be in our church, and she emigrated to Scotland. And she said there was a picture, and it's an old story, a picture of a donkey fell in a hole. And the hole was being filled with mud. And the donkey thought to itself, I'm going to die. And then it had another thought. No, I'm not. What I'm going to do is I'm going to shake the dirt off. I'm going to stamp it under my feet. And I'm going to use the very dirt that's to bury me to get myself out. You see, there's times when people will say something to you. Shake it off and put it under your feet. Use the very insult that they've given to get out of the pit. There'll be times that there'll be a fiery arrow that's fired against you. Use the word of God. Use the shield. Extinguish it. Put it under your feet. Let's live a resurrected life. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. For the same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Remember that word all? There's a Latin and a Hebrew and a Greek translation and it means all. It's the same, everyone, all. All who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray together. Let's believe that we are who God calls us to be. Let's believe that no weapon forged against us will prosper. Every accusation, every negative word, we can put it under our feet. Let's choose to let something die in our lives in order for life to come. Let's choose to live this season as a resurrected life. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your word of truth. We thank you that you live, and because you live, we also live. We thank you, Lord, that we can walk in the promises that we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. Continue to bless us, we pray, Lord, that we may be a blessing to those around us. We may be salt and we may be light. We ask this according to your plan and purpose. Cover us by your blood, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.